Well, if you have your Bibles, we're going to turn, please, to that portion we read together in Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18, and let us all pray and ask for God's blessing upon His Word. Loving Father in heaven, we thank You for the privilege that is ours to come and to listen and to look at Thy Word. And we pray, O God, that Thou would speak to our hearts. May it be the prayer from the heart of all of Your children. Speak, Lord, for Thy servant heareth. What a different meeting it is when we hear the voice of God. Speak to our hearts. We ask for Thy Spirit now to fill me to the uttermost. Help me, O Lord, to deliver the message that is laid upon my heart. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Every one of us knows by looking at the Word of God, especially at the life of Abraham, that Abraham is known as a friend of God. As he lived in this world, he had a friend. He had a true friend. He had a faithful friend. He had a close friend. And God was his name. Abraham was a friend of God. And as Abraham lived in this world, he had a close relationship with God. Because we find when we come to Abraham's life, there were many, many times when the God of heaven appeared to Abraham. Indeed, in this passage we have the fifth time that God appeared to Abraham. The first time was recorded in his own converted days in Acts 7 verse 2. And he said, "Men and brethren," Stephen is speaking, "and fathers, hearken, the God of glory appeared unto Abraham our father." The God of glory appeared unto Abraham. And so the very first appearance of God to Abraham was as the Lord of glory. And what a day that was. Abraham was in sin. And he was in darkness, and God appeared. And child of God, think of that day in relation to yourself. How we wandered in darkness, how we were wandering in sin, how we were held by the chains of the devil. And then the Lord of glory appeared unto us. What a wonderful day that was in Abraham's. And that's where it all began. This relationship, this friendship that Abraham had with God, it all began when the Lord of glory appeared unto Abraham. And I rejoice today that God is my friend. Child of God, can you not rejoice today in this house that the Lord is your friend? God appeared to him also as the God of promise. It says in Genesis 12 and verse 7, "And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, Unto thy seed will I give this land." He's a God of promise. He's walking with God in this new Christian life. And the God of promise appears again unto Abraham. And he says unto Abraham, "Unto thy seed will I give this land." I'm glad many times we come to the Bible. And the God of promise appears. And he speaks to our hearts. And he tells us of all the great blessings that he has given to each one of us. In Genesis 15 verse 1, he appeared to him as a God of comfort. It says, "After these things the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." And here was Abram, and his heart was filled with fear. He had just done battle with these kings. And God could look down into his heart. And God comes to Abraham and he says, "Abram, fear not." Child of God, today, do you fear? There may be some in this meeting. Your heart is filled with doubts. And your heart is filled with fear. Oh, that the God of comfort will appear to you. Fear not. He appeared to him as a God of power. In Genesis 17, verse 1, when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. What an appearance this was. When he now was stricken in years and old and infirm. And when he was old, you see. And when he was 99 years of old, it tells us the Lord appeared to him as a God of power. I am the Almighty God. Oh, child of God, today, are you weak? Are you weary? Do you feel cast down? Do you feel within yourself you cannot take another step? Oh, that the God of power would appear. I am the Almighty God. That hasn't changed. That will never change, child of God. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so we're down to the fifth appearance of God to Abram. And I say before we move into our service this morning, when's the last time God appeared to you? When's the last time, child of God, can I say, has God spoken to you? Because here was Abram, this man who was saved by the grace of God, and he walked with God, and we have found here in this passage and other passages, time and time again, God appeared and he spoke to Abram. When's the last time God spoke to you? When's the last time you came to service? You heard the preacher, Mr. Mercer, some other preacher preaching, and you said, that was a word to my heart. I heard the voice of God. See, Abram was a friend of God, and God spoke to him. But Abram was more than that. He was not only his friend, he was God's servant. Because the Lord, speaking to Isaac, said in Genesis 26, verse 24, and the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abram thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and will bless thee, and multiply thy seed. And here's what God said, for my servant Abraham's sake. And so not only was Abraham the friend of God, he was the servant of God. And in Abraham's life, he did the will and he did the work of God. He was God's servant. And I can say to all of God's people today that saved by the grace of God, we are God's friend. God is our friend. And we know this. And we know the Lord Jesus is that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. But I want you this morning and in our service to remember this. You're God's servant. Not just his friend. God said of Abraham, my servant. Abraham. And as we have looked at this passage together, we read a few verses, we can read Abraham ministering on to the Lord. Great example to all of us how to serve God. And we want to look at that subject this morning, Abraham serving God as a servant. You can see here in Genesis 18, Abram's occupation. Because we find at the very commencement of this servant, as he's sitting at his tent door, the Lord appears unto Abram. And what a day this was, because one day he looked down the road, and who was coming up the road? It was the Lord. God appeared. There were two other angels with the Lord at this particular time as well. But I want you to notice here that Abram arose immediately. As soon as he looked and sat by the tent door in the heat of the day and lifted up his eyes, and when he saw them, it tells us that he ran out immediately to meet them. He went to serve God, you see. He went to minister on to the Lord. I want to say to you here, Abram could have done many other things. Do you know some? Abram had over 300 servants. And Abram could have clicked his fingers and he could have said to some of his servants, the Lord has come and these other two angels with him. And he could have said, the Lord has come, rise up and prepare a meal for them. He could have given it all on to someone else to do. He had over 300 servants. We think of the man, the centurion, in Matthew 8 and verse 9, speaking of the Lord. He says, "For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I said to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it." And this man was showing his power and his authority. Abram could have done the same. He could have said to his servants, go, and they would have went. He could have said, come, and they would have come. He could have said, do this, and they do this, you see. But I want you to notice this. When the Lord appeared, Abram arose. The friend of God arose. Abram arose himself. I want you to notice here too, in his occupation of serving God, he could have made plenty of excuses. He was 99 years old. The Bible says that. And in the verse 11 of this chapter it says, "And Abram and Sarah were old and well stricken in years." Now that's what the Bible says about him. He was an old man. And Abram could have said, "Well, I am too old to minister unto God. I am too old to serve the Lord," you see. But it's not the case. 99, friends, he's still ministering on to the Lord. And he could have said also, it's too hot. Verse 1, in the heat of the day. I know with Ulster people, we grumble. We grumble about the weather. Too cold, too dull, and too wet. Is that right? All the time, I saw you here now singing from the same hymn sheet for the next few months, right through. Oh, terrible weather, terrible weather. Did you ever live in the sun? Did you ever live in some of the hot countries of the world? I have been in Australia one time serving the Lord. The temperature could get up to 44 degrees. You'll not be grumbling about the rain when you're sitting there. 44 degrees. I used to say when I was in Australia, all the clouds must be at the other end of the world, because I never saw a cloud. Blue skies and hot sun. I've been in Singapore, you can hardly draw your breath with humidity. The heat of the day. In fact, in those countries, the men go out and probably start earlier in the morning, and when it gets to this part, which is known as the heat of the day, they all go in. Maybe some people have been in France. I've been in France on my holidays. You see, about 12 o'clock, you think the rapture is taking place. There's nobody about. I have seen me in a market walking into a shop at 5 to 12, and I said, "Well, when I come out of that shop, I have a look round the stalls." And I come out of the shop, they're all gone. Every one of them was gone. The heat of the day. But I want you to notice Abram served God. Even at the heat of the day, friends, did service on to the Lord. And I want us then today to think of our occupation about giving service on to the Lord. Because there's a gospel campaign coming, dear friends, next week to this part. We need workers. We need people to get behind us. Every one of us, in some capacity, should be doing a service unto the Lord. Abraham arose to serve God. Remember the Lord Jesus said one time, the laborers are few. The harvest is plenteous. But dear friends, the laborers are few. We need to be like Abraham. You say, "No, what can I do? Are you 99? I don't believe there's anybody 99 in here today. Maybe so. But look at Abram. 99 serving God. And as I said, he could have given it to somebody else. And it's very, very easy to say, "Well, so and so will do that. That man or that woman, I know, they'll go to the early morning prayer meeting at 7 o'clock. I'll just lie in bed. I know that others will really support the mission. And they'll go to their prayer meetings. And I know they'll invite people to come in. And I know they'll go to attend and to support the preaching of the gospel." But what about you? Dear friends, what about you? There is a work to do for God. That's what I want to show to you this morning for all of us. You say, Noel, I am old, I am firm, and I appreciate that. There are people who just cannot go about this. But there are things that you can do behind the scenes. You can pray. Dear friends, you can pray. Pray for the mission. Pray for the people of the district. Pray for the unsaved. That the Lord would draw them in unto the preaching of the Word of God. And then for those who's able, pray, attend the mission. You know the saying, a crowd draws a crowd. It's hard to do a mission when nobody comes. Mr. Mercer came over to me, the Lewis, one time to do a mission. And some nights there was very few of us. There was 10 of us before we started. There was my family and there was his family. And I think one other night there was about 4 people turned up. And that's not so good, is it? I need you to come to the mission. We need to attend, dear friends. Invite others to the campaign. As I said earlier on in the announcement, you know people and you speak that I never say. A workmate, a schoolmate, a neighbour, a friend, a member of the family. Let us all then be like Abraham and rise up and do service unto God. Let's not make excuses. I'm too tired. I'm too weak. But let us be like Abraham. Abraham's occupation. And I want you to notice Abraham's devotion. He was devoted to the service of the Lord. There was enthusiasm in this man's service. Because you look here at Abraham. Notice it says in verse 2, he ran to meet them. It says in verse 6 that he hastened. That means to hurry or to speed. In verse 6 he says, make ready. In verse 7 he ran. And verse 7 he hastened. Now you see this man. Here is a man and he's running about. And he's running about here and there. And he's shouting out all of the orders. Remember, this is an old man running about. 99 years old, running about. Abraham, it tells us, he ran. And dear friends, when he saw the Lord, his heart was bursting within him with enthusiasm for God. There was a bit of fire in his heart for God. There was a bit of fire about him. He wasn't worried about people seeing him. Maybe some of the servants would look at that old fool running about. Would they wait? He's 99. Do you see the running about the road and running into the field and running into the kitchen? But Abraham wasn't worried about anybody, friends. Abraham had the fire of God in his heart and he ran. Even though he was 99 years old, he was still devoted to God's service. John Wesley was such a man. Read the life of John Wesley. A unique man in many ways. 80 years year old. He was still getting up at 4 o'clock to serve God. That would humble a lot of us. Including me. Including me. For I don't get up at 4 o'clock. I would be a liar to tell you that. But this man got up at 4 o'clock. And he said, he wrote, I am now an old man, decayed from head to foot. My eyes are dim, my right hand shakes much, my mouth is hot and dry every morning. However, I do not slack my labour. I do not slack my labour. Now here's a man, dear friends, and he's decaying in his own words from head to foot. His hand is shaking. His body is weak. And he says, however, for all of these things, I do not slack my labour. He was like Abraham. He was running, dear friends, for God. To Abraham, you see, remember this, God's business was urgent. It was urgent. This was urgent business. Here's an opportunity for me to do service unto God, you see. And as soon as God appears, this man's up, 99 years old, and he's running, and he's running, and he's running down the road. He's running for God, friends. This is urgent business. It's God's business. It's God's business. Oh, Abraham, he can be slack at many other things, but oh, friends, not this business. This is God's business. So we can see Abram's devotion here, loses it, in the work of God. He's running for God. I know that all God's people would serve the Lord with this same devotion, this same enthusiasm. In Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10 it says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Isn't wonderful? Do it with all of thy might. Whatever thy hand findeth to do with God, let's do it with all of our might. Let's do it with all of our heart. Let us all have this devotion and zeal that Abraham has. For it goes on to say, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave. Wherever thy goes, friends. You see, we are to serve God with all of our hearts. Because life is short. You've only one opportunity. One opportunity in this world to live for God. We've only one opportunity in this world to serve the Lord. We've only one opportunity in this world to reach out to the lost for the Lord. Because when you go to the grave, there's no work. The night cometh when no man, dear friends, can work, you see. Life is short. Only one life, and it, listen, will soon be passed. It's only what's done for Jesus will last. We've only one life, all of us. And may we get this devotion, this urgency, in our service for the Lord. Because it is urgent business. The salvation of souls is urgent. Friends, I can say this to you, and you know yourself, that all around us there are a people held in sin. And there are people around us dying in their sins. And there will be people in this area will be punished for their sins and cast down into hell for all eternity. We need to reach them with the gospel. And I say that to all, that we need to reach them with the gospel, you see. There's no other hope for the sinner but the gospel of Christ. There's no other hope for them. No other method. No other way that God has given us to reach out and to seek to save them but the gospel of Christ. There's no other way. And that's what encouraged me as I served the Lord in England. And I stood in the street with no amplification. We just had to stand with our Bible and shout the best we could. But I looked at the faces of all those people going past. I used to say to myself, the only hope for these people is the gospel. The only message of hope. There was nothing in the world could help them. Nothing else that I could say could help them. But the only hope for their soul was the gospel of Jesus Christ and to tell them that He's mighty to save them. That was the only hope. It's urgent business. Friends, it's too late asking your friend to a mission when they're dead. It'd be too late. Here's an opportunity for you to do something for God. I know there's people here in this church has a burden for their families. Ask them to the mission. You say they won't come, ask them. That's what we've got to do. Neighbours, concerned about their spiritual well-being. See them, dear friends, lost in their sin. Let us reach out, you see. Let us serve God with all our heart. Let us not be a half-hearted Christian. It's nothing as bad as lukewarmness. Nothing as bad as lukewarmness. Half-heartedness. We don't like it. I used to play football for 10 years ago, and you didn't like it, and they didn't like it. When I played some weeks with half a heart, I couldn't be bothered. And I would have got scolded. Maybe the manager would have took me off the pitch, and he was right. And boys, I didn't like it. When I had the sleeves rolled up and getting stuck in and playing football with all of my heart, and some boys were only dawdling about, seemingly killing time. And it's the same with everything, with work. It's the same with God's business. Let's, friends, do it with all of our heart, you see. He ran. Listen, he ran for God. This man, at 99 years old, he ran. He hastened. He shouted out the commands. He says, make ready. The Lord is here. Oh, that God would revive all of our hearts. We can get lukewarm. We can get, dear friends, settled. Sometimes God's people are very slow to listen to God's word. And John Wesley's day tells of a group of people in a district, they were so eager to hear the Wesleys preached that they would lie down on the beaches after the evening service and sleep till the hour for the early morning service. Imagine. Wanted to hear Wesleys preach, that when the evening service was over, instead of going home, they lay down on the beach and they slept all night to be able to go to the morning meeting. That's wholeheartedness. Abraham's devotion. That the Lord would give us all a burning heart of zeal for the service of God. And Abraham's presentation. Because we notice here that it tells us what he did for the Lord. In verse 6, it says, make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal keeled, and make cakes. And it says, verse 7, and Abraham ran on to the herd, and he fetched a calf tender and good, and gave it unto a young man, and he hastened to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed, and set it before them, and he stood by them on the tree, and they did eat. Now think of this. Here is Abraham's presentation unto the Lord, and I want you to think of this. He gives his best. He actually makes it a point in going to the flock himself to pick the calf. Now why did he do this? He had 300 servants, anyone could have been sent. But he wanted to make sure it was the best calf. He wanted to make sure he was going to give God his best. And so Abraham goes and he picks the very best for God. And underline the word best. Because that's what he's doing. In the service of the Lord. Here is the Lord who appeared as a man, can I say, in this passage with the angels. Great big steaks. That's what they were getting. A lot of us would like that. That's what they were getting. Dear friends, over in chapter 19, verse 3, tells about Lot. The angels appeared to Lot, and he made them a feast, and they break unleavened bread, and they did eat. Now, Mr. Douglas pointed out in his great book on Abraham that Lot made them a feast, and he says, what did he make them? He gave them unleavened bread, which is like cream crackers. Boy, that's some feast, isn't it? Here Lot says, I'll make you a feast. And he goes in, and what did he give them? He gave them cream crackers. I would rather visit Abraham. He gave the best. And I want you to see this, you see. His presentation unto God was his best. And the early disciples of the church, they gave their best. In fact, we can read in Acts chapter 4. They give everything, not just their best. They give everything unto the Lord. Because it says in verse 34 and verse 35 of Acts 4, neither was there any among them that had lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. Now notice here, they give everything. They sold the house. They sold everything. And they got the silver. And they got the gold. And what did they do with it? They laid it all at the feet of the apostles. They gave their best. Oh, dear friends, let's give our best. Let's give our best. Some Christians will give God the cream crackers. But oh, let us not be like that, dear friends. Let's give ourselves on to God. In Malachi 1, Malachi there, he speaks of a people who offered unto the Lord polluted bread. They gave that which was blind and lame and sick. They went to the flocks, and instead of picking the best thing, the best sacrifice, they picked out the worst, that which was sick, that which was blind, that which was lame. And they went over to the flock and they took it. And know what they said, dear friends? It'll do the Lord rightly. And such a thing would bring shame to our hearts. But there are many Christians like that. It'll do the Lord rightly. Are you giving that which is sick and lame and blind unto God? Terrible. We were singing Ashamed of Jesus. Oh, dear friends, let's give our best. Remember, Christ gave His best. He gave everything to us. He laid down His life for us. He shed His precious blood. He held nothing back. Nothing back. May you and I hold nothing back, friends. May we give our best for the Lord. Not like these people in Malachi. Not like Lot giving the cream crackers. Abram gave everything to God. A commentator said, a ministry that costs nothing, accomplished nothing. The nothings we give brings nothing back to God. I want you to notice Abram's humiliation, because look at here at verse 2. It tells us that he runs and he bowed himself toward the ground. He's humble in the presence of God, you see. Lord, I adore Thee. Lord, I worship Thee. Thou art my God, my King. He's bowing down before God. He's staying low at the feet of the Lord Jesus. You can see he calls himself a servant. In verse 3, he says, Thy servant. In verse 5, he says, Your servant. He could have said, man. He could have said, Lord, I am Thy friend. And he was. He could have said, Lord, I am the Father of the faithful. And so he was. But he just says, Lord, I am your servant. Very humble, wasn't he? Dear friends, that's all we are, as I have said. We're God's servants. The Bible says you're not your own. Why? Because you're bought with a price. We don't belong to the world. We don't belong, dear friends, to ourselves. We belong to the Lord. And Lord, every one of His people today would say, I belong to Jesus. I am Thy servant. I am, Lord, Your servant. Is that what you say? Is that what you say with all your heart, friends? Do you say that first of all? I am Thine, O Lord. I have heard Thy voice. Can I say? He called his feast a morsel of bread. He said in verse 5, I will fetch a morsel of bread. That's how he summed up his steak dinner. He just called it a morsel of bread. Didn't boast about it. He said, Lord, I'll make you a good steak dinner. Best steak on the house will be coming up. He just referred to it as a morsel of bread. Humility in the service of God. How we need this. I have talked to people in the past in different places, and you know, when you talked about the things to do for God, you thought nobody else was doing anything else for God. I see me stand with people and they talked and they blew about what they were doing and what they were doing and going here and going there and all this and all that, and you need to feel about 2 inches of the ground after they're finished with me. Today I'm still going on with God. And they're not. Friends, it says in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 18, For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. let us serve the Lord with humility. Someone asked Augustine, what was the first of religious graces? What was the first? He said, humility. He said, well, what's the second grace of a Christian? He said, humility. Well, the boy said, well, what's the third grace? He says, humility. He says, I think if we are humble, we have all the graces. And that is true. Abram served the Lord with humility. Even it says in verse 4, going to wash their feet. Going to wash their feet. John Wesley, he made orders when they were going to for his funeral, there was to be no hearse or pomp, and that his coffin was to be carried to the grave by 6 poor men. That's what he wanted. And that's what he got. Oh, dear friends, with humility, let us serve the Lord. Let us not be seen but Jesus only. Let us exalt the Lord Jesus Christ up in our witnessing and in our life. And can I say lastly and quickly, Abraham's corporation, because there's great unity in all of this. It wasn't just Abraham. He was a main man, no doubt, giving out the orders. But there was Sarah, because he says there in the verse 6, I want to make ready quickly. He says, 3 measures of fine meal. And Abram went to hear and had a young man come to dress it. It says in verse 7. So it's this corporation. There's a whole going on behind the scenes. Abraham was out to the front, but behind the scene there were others. Others that he could not do without. The young lad to dress the calf and the wife to do all of the cooking. There was corporation, dear friends, in his service. And dear friends, we need you behind us. It's not a one-man show. Don't be sitting saying, well, Noel will go up round him, he'll ask them all. I need you behind us. Mr. Mercer needs you in this work in the church as well. We are laborers together with God. It's a team effort. It's a team effort. You know, I am just a man like you are. I could put the slippers on just as handy as anybody. I could take it easy as well as any man in this place. But we've got to go on and serve the Lord. I trust the Lord will touch your heart. I pray that you will get behind this campaign. Let us all work together. And through our labours we pray that many might be saved. If anyone's here today not saved, we trust the Lord will speak to your heart. You're the one we're trying to reach. You're the one we're seeking to bring to Christ. You're the one we'll be praying for, that you might be saved. But let us all be like Abraham. Let us all work together. Let's serve the Lord with this one life that God has given us. And we pray that over the next few weeks, we'll see many people pressing into the kingdom of our God. May God bless His word to our hearts for His name's sake. Amen. We'll close in a word of prayer. Loving Father in heaven, we pray that Thou will bless the word to our hearts. May all of your people be set on fire at this time, and may we seek to reach the lost. And we pray you'll bless the campaign that's before us with the salvation of precious, precious souls. And Lord, we pray in great mercy Thou will call them on to yourself. Be with each one of us now, and take us our separate ways into our homes in safety. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.